From the studios of KXCI Community Radio in Tucson, Arizona, I'm King David McKenzie with the truth. Here's how some of the world is treating itself today. The Obama administration is formally adopting the Bush administration's position that the courts cannot judge the legality of the National Security Agency's warrantless wiretapping program, filing a motion to dismiss Jewell versus NSA late last week. In Jewell versus NSA, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, EFF, is challenging the agency's dragnet surveillance of millions of ordinary Americans. The Obama Justice Department claims in its motion that litigation over the wiretapping program would require the government to disclose privileged state secrets. These are essentially the same arguments made by the Bush administration 3 years ago in Hepting versus AT&T, EFF's lawsuit against one of the telecom giants complicit in the NSA spying. President Obama promised the American people a new era of transparency, accountability, and respect for civil liberties, said EFF senior staff attorney Kevin Bankston. But with the Obama Justice Department continuing the Bush administration's cover-up of the National Security Agency's dragnet surveillance of millions of Americans and insisting that the much-publicized warrantless wiretapping program is still a secret that cannot be reviewed by the courts, it feels like deja vu all over again. Tinkering with Earth's climate to chill runaway global warming, a radical idea once dismissed out of hand, is being discussed by the White House as a potential emergency option, the president's new science advisor said Wednesday. That's because global warming is happening so rapidly, John Holdren told the Associated Press in his first interview since being confirmed last month. The concept of using technology to purposely cool the climate is called geoengineering, one option raised by Holdren and proposed by a Nobel Prize-winning scientist includes shooting pollution particles into the upper atmosphere to reflect the sun's rays. Using such an experimental measure is only being thought of as a last resort, according to Holdren. His concern is that the United States and other nations will not slow global warming fast enough and that several tipping points could be fast approaching. Once such milestones are reached, such as complete loss of summer sea ice in the Arctic, it increases chance of really intolerable consequences, he said. Twice in a half-hour interview, Holdren compared global warming to being in a car with bad brakes driving toward a cliff in the fog. He and many experts believe that warming of a few degrees more would lead to disastrous drought conditions and food shortages in some regions, and rising seas and more powerful coastal storms in others. Holdren is far from alone in taking geoengineering seriously. The National Academy of Sciences is making it the subject of the first workshop in its new Climate Challenges program for policymakers, scientists, and the public. The British Parliament has also discussed the idea. At an international meeting of climate scientists last month in Copenhagen, 15 different talks dealt with different aspects of geoengineering. The American Meteorological Society is crafting a policy statement that says it is prudent to consider geoengineering's potential to understand its limits and to avoid rash deployments. Congregations in fire-ravaged areas of the Australian state of Victoria will be celebrating Easter in a spirit of resurrection and hope. Many church buildings were destroyed on Black Saturday, so Easter celebrations will take place in marquees, portable cabins, and in the open. In Marysville, all churches will hold a combined service on Sunday. The Anglican and Catholic churches were destroyed, and the service will be held in a marquee on the golf course at 10 a.m. Anglican priest Norm Hart hopes that the service will provide hope to those struggling to cope with recent losses. The service will include segments from all churches, but everyone will share the same bread in a symbol of unity. The spirit of Easter shines brightly at the wreckage-strewn site of a ruined Kinglake church. St. Peter's Memorial Church is now just a blackened sign, a makeshift white cross, and a pile of tin and burned timber. But its congregation is almost ready to reopen in a cluster of portable buildings on the same site. They will celebrate Easter at Christ Church in Whittlesea, but the temporary church will be open for dawn service on Anzac Day. It is hoped that the rebuilt church will be having a memorial garden for the victims of Black Saturday. The FBI is investigating after a nightly confession call-in segment over KZZP-FM radio in Phoenix produced a shocker. A story from a caller named Carl, who said he witnessed the abuse and apparent homicide of an alleged bully back in 1988 in Cincinnati, Ohio. He said the crowd jumped him, tied him up, everyone was like throwing eggs and stuff at him and burning him with cigarettes, and just giving this guy back what he's been giving us for all those years. Then they pushed him off the pier and into the water of the Ohio River. The KZZP website has a statement saying it is cooperating with authorities. Gordon Brown has said Pakistan needs to do more to root out terrorism after police thwarted a suspected Al-Qaeda bomb plot in northwest England. The British Prime Minister spoke after police were forced to bring forward arrests of 12 suspects, 11 of them Pakistanis, after a security blunder by Britain's anti-terror chief. Assistant Commissioner Bob Quick resigned after he was photographed with clearly visible secret documents. Mr. Brown said police had to move early to foil a very big terrorist plot. The Prime Minister said he would speak to Pakistan's president to raise concerns about what he termed increasing terror links between Pakistan and the UK. The target and other details of the alleged plot have not as yet been revealed, but a source close to the counterterrorism investigation known as Operation Pathway told the BBC the arrests in Merseyside, Manchester, and Lancashire were due to concerns plans for a very, very big attack with possible Al-Qaeda links had reached their final stages. Press speculation had the alleged plot involving bomb attacks on a shopping center and nightclub in Manchester. In yet another controversial move by the Samoa Censor Board, the movie Milk, based on the life of gay activist and icon Harvey Milk, has been banned in Samoa. The movie was rejected by the censorship board 2 weeks ago after it was presented by one of the local video rental stores for the board's approval and rating. The principal censor has declined to comment, saying that he needed the approval of the censorship board chairman to comment. Ken Moala, a well-known human rights activist in Samoa, says the banning of the movie is uncalled for. The decision to ban Milk is not open to appeal in Samoa. Some video stores still feature the Milk poster in their windows, but are not able to offer it to the public. The New Hampshire House reversed itself on Wednesday and passed a bill extending anti-discrimination protections to transgender individuals by a single vote. The House voted 181 to 149 last month to kill the bill, but reconsidered Wednesday after a passionate appeal from House Speaker Terry Norelli to include transgender individuals in the state anti-discrimination law. The House debated more than 3 hours before voting 188 to 187 to send it to the Senate. Republicans call it the bathroom bill, based on the argument it would open all bathrooms to both men and women. Republicans claim women and children would be put at risk if men came into a woman's bathroom. They also complain the bill did not adequately define transgender individuals. Supporters, almost entirely Democrats, say those tactics attempted to paint a straightforward anti-discrimination bill as something it wasn't. They said it would protect a vulnerable group who identify with the gender opposite of their birth. They said it would protect them from discrimination by employers, landlords, and others. And finally, in what could be the strangest request in pop music history, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals has asked that the Pet Shop Boys consider changing their name to the Rescue Shelter Boys. A PETA spokesperson said the change would encourage people to give homes to unwanted cats and dogs from shelters rather than buying especially bred animals from pet shops. Neil Tennant and Chris Lowe, who named themselves the Pet Shop Boys more than 20 years ago, declined the request but delighted PETA by posting the organization's concerns on their website. The group, who found fame in the 80s with the records West End Girls and It's a Sin, reproduced PETA's written request in full, noting that the issues raised were worth thinking about. The organization's special projects manager, Yvonne Taylor, wrote, "We have a request that might at first seem bizarre, but we hope that after considering the following facts, you will understand why we are asking this of you. Will you please consider changing your name from the Pet Shop Boys to the Rescue Shelter Boys?" Taylor goes on to allege that breeders who supply pet shops are profit-hungry and keep animals in cramped, filthy conditions. The letter closes, "By agreeing to change your name to the Rescue Shelter Boys, you would help raise awareness about the cruelty involved in the pet trade and encourage your millions of fans to consider giving a home to an abandoned or unwanted animal from an animal shelter. So what do you say?" While their request was turned down, PETA remains fans of the Pet Shop Boys. On its own website today, the organization said it was pleased the band had drawn attention to their cause and will be putting West End Girls on their iPods to celebrate. If you have any material you'd like for me to include in the next few days, all you have to do is email me at baronofarizona@gmail.com. That's baronofarizona@gmail.com. And please do indicate where you're listening to this podcast from. Of course, if you don't like this news, you always have the option of making some news yourself. In Tucson, I'm King David McKenzie. Until tomorrow, have yourselves some peace and oranges.